Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts, dear Lord God, thankful for this opportunity to grow and to increase. Thankful, Heavenly Father, that we made it through this year. You've guided us. You kept us. You protected us, Heavenly Father. You filled us with your spirit. You've been so gracious, and you've been merciful, and we thank you. Lord, I thank you that today, that this is a word in season to them that are weary, that my teaching today, Heavenly Father, is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but as Paul said, in demonstration of your spirit and of power, Father God, I thank you for a life-transforming word. I thank you, Lord, that everyone here has ears to hear what your spirit is saying, Father God, and that your word is being sown on good ground. And I'm believing for a 30, 60, and a 100-fold return on what's being sown. In Jesus' name we pray, let all who agree with us say, amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve. Again,
there's
our four core values: worship, connect, equip, and serve. Today's sermon title is Living in Agreement with the Word. And I wanted to finish this year strongly. I want to finish, and for some of you guys, it's going to be a refresher also, too. I know, especially down in Louisiana and Texas and Georgia and Alabama, usually the last Sunday, we'll frequently have testimony. And I want you guys to hear and just how God has been working in others' lives. We heard from Big Ron just a moment ago and how God is being a blessing there and working with him. Last Monday, that was Christmas, previous Christmas Eve, we celebrated. You know, we still have our decorations up, still this season. And so I want you to look at this verse here. And on your handout, it says for Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. And I have an amplified version. I want to walk you through that for a moment. But I want to set this up. The context is this, okay? The angel appears to Mary, and in Isaiah, almost 800 years prior, the angel talked about, and Isaiah, it was prophesied about the virgin will give birth to a child. And then here's Mary, 800 years later, and this is manifesting. And so the word is that's spoken here is nothing is impossible with God. The Amplified Version says it like this, because I know we say that nothing's impossible with God, but I want you to really get this into your hearts today, please. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So the thing is that when God speaks something, God says something, it's going to happen. And so what we must learn to do is get in agreement with that. Now, I know almost every one of you, that concept is there. But the application and practicality of it, sometimes that's lacking in our lives. We have to understand, what did God say? What did God do? We are his, and then participate or submit to that. And I'm glad you're here this Sunday. It's a blessing, you know, and I'm grateful people come to church. And you know, we're going to have a second service after you guys. And we've got evening service and people call and text. And you, as you quote stuff on Facebook, hallelujah, that's good. But often when hard times come, we don't default to the word. We default to what's familiar. And that's our feelings. That's our beliefs. That's how, you know, I ain't going to let nobody, or the next time somebody, or, you know, and that's not it. And I don't want you to go into 2018 carrying the luggage, the baggage from 2017. The Africans, you know, have this thing crossing over. They call it crossing over, you know. And what time is it? 10, 9? And some of them, they're going to be crossing over in a bit. They're ahead of us, okay? In fact, I think in the Philippines, are they crossed over yet? So I don't know. But the thing is crossing over into this new year. Well, let's cross over free. Let's do that. Okay. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word. And that right there, word, that's, you guys that understand this, that's rhema. There's logos and there's rhema. Logos in Greek is the written word of God. But rhema is when that word becomes alive to you. Often it's just words on a page. It hasn't become alive to us. And we're going to have to submit to it and allow it. And it's going to fulfill. It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. The fact is this. The word of God is our measuring stick for life. And I made sure I put that on your handout because I want you to get that. God, I want you to get that. Because normally we use our culture, our race, our feelings, our political party, what mama said, you know, what Big Leroy told us when, you know, we were 12 and he was 18 and he was the big guy in the community. And we, you know, we hold on to those things, but really it is the word of God that we need to measure everything by. Everything needs to be measured by the word of God. Now, question, got a question for you. Your situation that you're going through right now, contrast that, okay? Contrast that. In fact, let me read it. Which challenge is greater, the issue you're currently facing or a virgin conceiving a child? If you think your situation is so hard, compare it to a virgin conceiving it and then giving birth to a child. So if God can do that, surely, whatever I'm facing is a light thing. Elder Joyce, you said something earlier when you were transitioning. It's already done. I need to operate and live like, excuse me, that is already done. I've been meditating on Isaiah 28, 16 through 17. Let's pull it up. Isaiah 28, 16. Again, it's a prophetic word, 800 years before Christ. And it's speaking about Christ. It says this here, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem. Foundation stone. This is Jesus he's speaking of, okay? A firm and tested stone. A proven stone. And we know that Jesus was tempted. Remember that in the wilderness? Okay, he was tempted. And every time the enemy, the devil came at him with something, Jesus responded with the word. That was his measuring stick. It wasn't his feelings. It wasn't his thoughts, his opinion. It was the word. But see, we can't respond to the word if we don't know the word. And we can't get in an agreement with the word if we don't know the word. So next year is a year of understanding for us. We're going to get knee deep into the word. Then we're going to get thigh. You ever like, I'm a drunk. Okay, actually, okay. I'm it's like this. You step in the water. You know, you step in the water. Ah, it's cold. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I don't. Oh, oh. I like it. Sometimes we would baptize people. And I remember one time I forgot to heat the pool. Oh, pastor. You better get on in this water. But sometimes I'm sorry. But sometimes that's how we do the word of God. I'm going to just test it. You better jump in. You got everything to gain and nothing to lose. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? It amazes me when people are like, well, you know what? Hallelujah. Let me stay focused. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. Watch this. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. So what am I going to build on? That cornerstone. Watch this. Whoever believes need never be shaken. You're coming apart. Why? And that lets me know, and this is no criticism, understand. And even when I get moved, it's like, Tony, what are you doing? Where's your faith right now? What are you rooted in? That cornerstone. Can I have the next picture, please? That's a cornerstone in a building. And Brother Ian, you probably really appreciate this. He's a contractor, he's a builder. And so they will put the cornerstone, and everything going both directions is based on this cornerstone. Now, we understand that when we're constructing a physical building, an edifice. How about when we're constructing our life? Who's your cornerstone? Think about it. My best friend, his sister. She is in hospice right now, cancer. And I remember me and her, Lynn, that's her name, and we were working at McDonald's together when we were 17. And I remember just, you know, we would throw fries at each other, place clothes, even though shakes sometimes, we'd just get crazy. And so it's shaking my friend. I mean, he's hurting, he's feeling that. But last night we talked, and all we went through was scripture. And I'm watching him and how he's walking through this. Let me give you the definition of his cornerstone. The cornerstone or foundation stone concept is derived from the first stone set in the construction of a masonry foundation. Important since all other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. I'm going to say that again. The cornerstone concept is derived from the first stone set. What is your first stone? Jesus. In the construction of your life. And that's important since all other stones will be set in reference to this first stone. See, some of us, we don't do that. And it thus determines the position of an entire structure. And for a lot of us, it's not Christ, it's something else. And you got to figure out what that is. And I'm going to tell you when it's really revealed is in precious situations. Next picture, please. Next picture. This is really my desire for you to build your life. Jesus, the finished work of Jesus on the cross, that be the cornerstone of your life. As you move into next year, that is how, you know, from every direction, everywhere you go, is Jesus. And everything else is set into place, every other brick, every other piece of wood, every piece of drywall, everything else is based on that cornerstone, cornerstone of Christ. So next time you're driving down the street, or if you guys are driving on a 15 freeway and you see that big old church called Cornerstone, now you know. Hallelujah. Verse 17, please, Lavelle. Verse 17. And this is Jesus speaking still. This is God still speaking. God says, I would test you with the measuring line of justice and a plumb line of righteousness. See, Pastor, that's confusing. No, it's not. Because everything you do need to be measured. What benchmark, what measuring stick, what ruler are you using? It has to be that foundation stone, which is Christ. Since your refuge is made up of lies, then that's the problem. See, what we default to and where we go for comfort, it's a stronghold of lies. And as a refuge, we go there because we're comfortable, even though it doesn't work. You ever notice that? We still, even if something's not working, we'll still default to it. We just try to do it harder, even though it's not working. It's a lie. A hailstorm will knock it down. Now, we were talking about before not being shaken. A little hailstorm will knock it down. Can you imagine if a hailstorm knocked down your house right now? But see, that's what happens with life with a lot of us. It knocks us down. Now, since it's made up of deception, I need you to see that. Deception. That's why I'm tired of letting the enemy fool me. I'm tired of him playing me. Since it's made up of deception, a flood will sweep it away. If I'm not rooted, if Christ is not the cornerstone as I move into 2018, I'm going to have some serious problems. Get into your word. I'm telling you, I'm going to drown you next year with the word. Some of y'all are just going to get in knee deep and you're going to just play in a pool a little bit in the shallow and you're going to be splash the water around and you swear you're going to do something. You swear you in the pool. You swear. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to come into the deep end with me in 2018. I want you to tread water. You're going to get tired. You know what? You've been offended. Some of y'all mad at me. Some of y'all, you know, he didn't return my text or Elder Joyce, he only tell her stuff. You're going to come with all kind of, I'm telling you, that's that refuge of lies. He only have Elder Joyce and Elder Abraham pray. He only like dark-skinned people. People be coming over stuff. I'm going to drown you. Next year, I'm going to drown you. I'm going to drown you. I'm telling you. I'm going to drown you in the word. I remember Mona Stallworth. I had an incident, and she shared with me when she was 11 years old, and it significantly impacted her life. But since then, she's changed her thinking. And so, Miss Mona, why don't you come on up and hang out with me for a minute, okay? Come on up here. Help her up. Yeah. Amen. And that answers the questions, what are the red chairs for? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Pastor Todd, you're supposed to be up here playing something, man. I feel like Arsenio or Jay Leno. I need that, you know, okay. Second service, all right? Okay. Hey, Miss Mona.
Hi, Pastor.
How you doing?
A little nervous. I'm here.
It's family. Y'all love Miss Mona. Give her a hand, please. Oh, wow. Look at you. Isn't she pretty? Good. Look at you.
The photographer over here.
Amen. Amen. Way to go. Okay, that was you, Michelle. Way to go, Michelle. All right. Yes. Hey, holler at Michelle. You need some photos, okay?
Yes.
Amen.
She makes you look real good.
Amen. Miss Mona. I actually got that from Malcolm. Malcolm and Juanita always called her Miss Mona. So that's I picked that up, too. So, hey, you're 11 years old. Tell us what happened.
I'm in the sixth grade, Mark Twain Elementary, Compton, California.
CPT. Go ahead.
And we're having a contest to see who's going to deliver the speech for graduation.
That's sixth grade.
Sixth grade speech. Okay. I wrote a wonderful speech. We were supposed to compete. There were three sixth grade classes, and you compete in your class, and then the three winners would complete to see who would give it. Well, I won in my class. They love the speech. But the teacher said, you can't give it.
Why?
Someone else needs to speak for you. Because at that time, and up until I was probably 50 years old, I thought I had a speech impediment. But what I really had was a hearing impediment. If I sit and work with you, I can pronounce the words, but I don't hear the sound. So therefore, I couldn't do it. So she felt that I wasn't good enough to give my own speech. I was always a good kid, but that day I acted up in the assembly and got kicked out. I sat outside the doors while someone else delivered my speech, and I cried. And I didn't make a conscious decision never to speak in public again, but I made an internal one. Today, speaking in front of what I call my peers, my family, that was 55 years ago. And here I sit now, because we serve a faithful God. Amen. And I had built my ability on deception. She thought I couldn't. She had not consulted God about it. She did not know the passion I had. She did not know my ability to reach my audience, but she made that determination. And as a result, I never spoke in public. For school, if I had to do a class project, but that's it. But this year, God said to me, you need to go to Toastmasters.
Now tell us, what is Toastmasters?
Toastmasters is a wonderful organization that allows you to build your skills in speaking. And you're among your peers, and they critique you, and they encourage you, and they motivate you, and they inspire you. And that's what they did. And so within a year, I completed their competent communicator manual. And I'm speaking here today because we serve an awesome God. And what Pastor talked about, the deceptions, coming to New Day was a new day. I won't say I came willingly, but Monique, my goddaughter, if any of you know him, she wouldn't let it. Because she wouldn't let me sit in the back. We compromised with the third row. But that's what God will do, because he knew his plans. But I had to come here to hear this man, to open up doors, opportunities. I had to avail myself of what he provided so I could get rid of the baggage. Stuff that I didn't even know. What was a competing commitment? Didn't have a clue. What were those things that I said to myself internally that stopped me? Who was I willing to believe? And that's why I say to all of you, you know, I meet most of you as when you come in as new members, and I say, take advantage. You are here. Because there's things that you have. But for some of us that come, there are bondages, there are wrong mindsets, there's things that's the thing about ignorance. You don't know what you don't know. Okay? How do you help yourself when you think, I'm reading the word? I try to live my life according to the teaching of Jesus, how did I know that I wasn't getting all that God had for me? I remember when Pastor quoted John 10:10, he came for an abundant life. I'm going, I'm happy that you got my bills paid. I'm happy that my children are okay. Minimum. But then I had to realize it was minimum because I had no father that was a loving, caring father that wanted to give me everything, that wanted more for my life. So I had to come here so I could learn, so I could take classes, so I could spend time, so I could drive from Moreno Valley to Corona.
Amen.
At night. God will give you what you need. Amen. You just have to take it.
You know, one of the things that blessed me is it was last year, if I'm not mistaken, that you became the commissioner for Moreno Valley Library. Amen.
And again, the backstory behind that, 2011 was a terrible year for me. My uncle in Vegas was ill, but he wouldn't tell me how ill he was because he knew my husband was ill. So I didn't go visit him. My husband, one Sunday, didn't get out of bed. Man, never not get out of bed. By that evening, I was in the emergency room. He had renal failure. I had just been told that when I walked out the room because my phone rung. It was a call. My uncle had just passed. They admitted my husband. The first few days, I'm there all the time. I go home to get a change of clothes and realize our stepson had been using the house as a party house. There were all kinds of stuff that I didn't need to see there. He threatened me. So for my own safety, I had to get a restraining order, which meant until I got the restraining order, I couldn't go to the hospital because they wouldn't give me one to cover the hospital. So for the last probably 4 days of my husband's life, I couldn't see him. When I was able to go home, miraculously, they released my husband. They brought him home. I'm all happy. You guys know me. I'm jumping up and down. A few hours later, I'm talking to Monique on the phone. I go into the bedroom, and I touch his feet, and it's cold. So I say, darn, Monique, I done left this fan on. He done caught a cold. But as I walk near him, I realize he's gone. The same people that brought him home picked him up. Less than 6 months later, probably, I get diagnosed with breast cancer. Wasn't a very good year. I lost the home that we had. Luckily, I had a home in Moreno Valley, and God told me to go back to Moreno Valley. I said, no. No, not Moreno Valley. Come on now. I'm in Cork Hills. I got this wonderful house. I'm good. Go back to Moreno Valley. I didn't want to go back because Moreno Valley had been my desert. But you guys remember the scripture where the fishermen were out fishing and they didn't, all night they didn't catch anything? But God said, nevertheless, go back. Hmm. Since I've been back in Moreno Valley, I have co-authored 3 books, library commissioner, president of the social club in my association. They want me to run for office, and I'm going, okay, God. here at the church. I have people that love me for me. Because coming here, I didn't have the finances and all the things I had before where I could do for people. But here, I found people that love me for me. So I had to do what I didn't want to do for God to bless me the way he wanted to bless me. Amen. And sometimes you have to understand that you might have to go back. You might have to reconsider a decision. You might have to say, nevertheless, if this is what you want me to do, God, I trust you.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, can I tell you a little secret? God's track record is a whole lot better than mine. When I look back over my life, the time where I've been hurt, because I've had some terrible things happen, looking back, Holy Spirit tried to warn me every time. I didn't listen. And mainly because I didn't want to offend the person that God was telling me about.
So I'm hearing you say that you are committed to not offending, but you're also committed to God.
Yes.
And those two commitments were competing against each other. Competing commitments.
Exactly.
Okay. Amen.
There were times where I've asked God for things and he didn't give it to me. And again, hindsight, I am so glad he didn't.
You said something to me earlier this week, and you mentioned it just a second ago, and I'd like you to close with this. Because we were talking Tuesday, and you said, you don't know what you don't know until you get exposure.
Yes.
Speak to that. You can close with that, please.
You have to be around people that care about you. You have to read the word so you know what the word says. One of the things that people can do on you, if you don't know, they can tell you anything. If you don't know what the word says, then people can tell you, oh, girl, you kind of old. You really think that dream going to come to pass?
All right.
Well, here, 55 years later, I'm sitting here.
Amen.
So there's not a dream that any one of you have out there that can't come to pass. There's not a relationship out there that can't become better.
Mm.
You just got to be exposed to what God wants you to have and to know.
Amen.
And you got to be willing to say, I don't know everything.
Amen. Can you bring up the last scripture, please? Psalms 119, verse 114. And we were talking about the cornerstone, and a lot of us build that refuge of lies and that deception. But this is how it should be for us. Psalms 119, verse 114. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. God's word has to be your source. His word. I'm all for education. I love Big Ron. I like them letters. I got the three MPT, Masters of Practical Theology, behind my name. Cost me $40,000. Glory to God. Still paying it back. Hallelujah. My point is this. You can depend on your education, your job, your social status, bank account, and all that is good. I know we got to be good stewards over things, but at the end of the day, it's the word that has to be your source of hope. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can we give Ms. Mona a hand, please? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yes.
And it's exciting for me. You know, one of the advantages of being a pastor is I get to hear all the great stuff. And so sometimes you guys might know some things if you're working with our Discover program where new members where Miss Mona is. Maybe you've had a chance to meet with her and hear some things. Or if you've been a part of our Destined for Purpose course, you know, if you're in a class with her and doing those things. But what happens is that, and I think it's good for us just to take time so that you can hear from others. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads, please. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive, it's a living thing, and it will